Let's talk about the new album, which is called Day and Age. How did you guys go about writing this album? Was it a little different than the other ones?
It's a little different, actually. We were a little bit more separate on this one. The other one, I would say especially Hot Fuss, it was more of like we got together and practiced every day after work. You know, we would work out the four of our schedules, and we would get together about 6 days a week and just practiced in Ronnie's hot garage.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 100 in there.
Wow.
You know, it's Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
So, but we would get together in there and just, you know, work on ideas and jam around and see whatever happened. This one was, after we were done touring for Sam's Town, we took 6 months apart and, you know, some people would come up with ideas, and which led to all of us kind of recording demos separately on Logic, which allows you to email them
right.
to each other, which we had never done, but finally kind of figured out how to do that.
So you all use Logic?
Yeah. We all use Logic and would email our ideas to each other, and Stuart Price, the producer, so he was familiar with them and kind of, you know, tell us his favorites, and kind of he would add little drum loops or keyboard parts to stuff even. So there was a lot of pre-production on this one, I would say, just with those demos. So we kind of knew how things were going before we actually got together. And then we got together in April and practiced about 4 weeks in a row. And we went through everybody's idea. There was about 40 of them. We went through every single one and, you know, kind of weeded out about half of them. We ended up recording 19, and 10 are on the album. The others are B-sides and whatnot. But
and might I say, thank you for making a great 10-song album where every song is great and there's no loser songs. There's nothing you got to skip through. I don't need 17 songs
yeah.
where, like, you know, six of them are horrible, but you put them on just because you can. You know, you guys made just a great side A, side B, 10-song album. I just got to say that.
Oh, well, that you're welcome. That's, you know, that's kind of what we wanted too. I mean, at first there was all different talks about what to do at first. When we had the 40 songs on the board, we thought we might have enough for a double album here. And then we, you know, as it went on, then we thought, okay, well, or we could do two albums and then just put one out later. But then we thought, well, when's the right time to release the second album? We're going to be on the road for a year and a half. For this one.
Right.
So we just said screw it and we put the best 10.
Yeah.
And it's hard to figure out the best 10 of your own material.
Sure.
You know, other people might know, but we had to try and figure out what the best 10 was and put them on the record. And yeah, I am happy that we made that choice too.
What was your agenda with this record, and did the reaction to Sam's Town play into it at all?
I don't think the reaction to Sam's Town played in at all, but I do think that, you know, we still like all different styles of music, whether it's dance or rock or something slow or whatever. So, and we did give, you know, at least one dance song to the people who wanted it, which
mm-hmm.
was Human.
Yeah.
But I think that stylistically it's all over the place, so I don't think it had much to do with it, you know. I mean, it wasn't really we never really looked back and discussed Sam's Town. We just wrote all these songs and this is what came out. And I think it's kind of, I don't know what the theme is really, because it's kind of just a collection of songs. And then lyrically, he wrote a lot of the lyrics afterwards, and some of it ties together a little bit.
Generally, how do you go about recording your guitar parts? Do you do rhythm tracks and then layer?
Yeah, usually, you know, we play together a little bit, and then once we get the drum track, or at least a scratch track for Ronnie to play to, then, you know, we let Ronnie go. So we get the drum track, we get the bass track, then I get the rhythm guitar tracks, and any other guitar ideas I have at the time, basically. Like, I might have some weird little atmospheric part or something, and I get that down, and then Brandon starts putting keyboards down, and then later it's usually revisited, like, if we think it needs a guitar part somewhere, like, which happened quite a bit, where with like, this part needs something, and then wouldn't necessarily be a guitar part. They might try a keyboard part, and then they'd be like, nah, let's think of a guitar part for right here, and then right. We'd think of a guitar part, and go from there.
It doesn't seem like you put down like this wall of rhythm guitars. I mean, it seems like it's pretty sparse.
No, and I try, I don't know, sometimes I try and put down less too, because it comes out in the mix more almost.
Right.
It's if you put down just a wall of guitars, then it becomes more of a background part.
Right, know? Right.
I mean, unless you're a metal band or something, which all the guitars are in the front.
It's a very emotional album, and so are some of your solos. Your solo on Losing Touch is very, very anthemic.
Yeah.
How'd you come up with that one?
That's my favorite solo, I think. Definitely on the album, it's my favorite solo, and that actually was something that we did before Stuart was even there. That was something I did in practice. We were kind of making demos in April with the whole band, and Ronnie would hit record, and then we'd record, and that was something I just did in practice, just right there. And I think almost all of my solos were done in practice, and we would do like three or four of them. Would go, you know, and then Ronnie would keep all of them, and then he would. It's, you know, we'd be like, yeah, I really like that one, and then the other guys would say, yeah, I like that one too, and then I couldn't convince them that I could do better, but I ended up like, because they're like, no, that one's perfect. That's, don't, no, shut up, that's perfect. And that was the way it was with Losing Touch. But I kind of agree now. Now I like it too.
You're really great at the nuanced parts as well. You have this clicky little phased guitar intro to Human.
Oh yeah.
What guitar did you use?
A lot of people don't know that's a guitar part, which.
Well, I do.
No, you do.
Yeah.
Which the trained ear knows, but I'm trying to get it out there that's a guitar, because I got some girl ended up saying like, oh, I wish there was more guitar on that. And I'm like, well, I'm playing the whole song from beginning to end. But yeah, it's not. It's just that it's not a typical guitar part.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
What guitar did you use for that?
Oh, that was actually kind of a clean sound played on a hollow body. And I can't remember which guitar it was. It was definitely, it was like a big hollow body, and I played it in Stuart's apartment in London.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first, Human was the first song we recorded with Stuart. It was, we had a meeting with him to talk about whether or not he would be the producer. Just kind of a friendly thing. Just kind of went out to eat, and then Brandon said, well, I have this song idea. If you want, you know, I'd love to show you. And it's like, sure, let's come back to my apartment. And I knew something was going to go happen, like probably that would get kept. So I went along, and that I said, hey, I got a guitar idea, and I just laid that down straight away. That was the first thing I recorded, was that guitar part.
Are you using your Starcaster on the album?
A little bit, but it's funny what ends up being better live and better in the studio. And the guitar I use the most on this new album is my Gibson 335.
Okay.
And I have it's kind of frustrating actually, but I have three Gibson 335s, and they all sound different.
Okay. But they're all the same.
Well, one of them is older, and it sounds older. It sounds like a classic rock guitar. And then I have a red one and a black one, and the red one sounds much brighter and a little thin. The black one is perfect. It's big, it's thick, but the high end comes out too, and it's just a loud guitar. And it sounds great on cleaner stuff. And I use that a lot on this album, and I use it a lot live.
But, you know, that makes sense, though. I mean, you can go into a music store, and they can have 50 Strats,
and there'll
be that one.
The Strats are all like that. It's hard to find a good one. I mean, there's a lot of good ones, but they all sound different. So depending on what you like, you might be turned off by this one and
right.
turned on by this one. And I have three Stratocasters also, and they all sound different. And I still use one live on a few songs. I use one on Neon Tiger live.
Okay, yeah,
and
yeah.
It sounds perfect for that.
There's a song called This Is Your Life where you have this beautiful arpeggiated part.
This Is Your Life. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part. Yeah. That part just came to me. I just, in practice too, I just was like, I just played that straight off and everybody liked it. And, you know, that's what kind of is the outro of the song. And I used my Black 335 on that one. That's one of my favorite tracks on the album. I think This Is Your Life. It's probably it's in my top three.
So are we going to be seeing you busting out the 335 on tour a lot?
Yeah. And part of that actually is because that guitar was tuned to E.
Yeah.
And a lot of our songs in the past are in E flat.
Right.
And I, for some reason, kept the 335 in E so I could just grab it for the E songs. And so that's why I didn't get used as much in the past, I think. And then I don't know why, it just has really grown on me lately. And now I'm kicking myself for not having it in E flat, but I'm just going to keep it how it is because it fits on all these new ones perfectly. So,
how about amps? Are you still using the Dave Gilmour High Watts?
I'm still using those. I just like the way they sound. And then I'm also still using the Hot Rod DeVille.
Right.
So I've got three amps actually going now. I believe I've got two DeVilles and a David Gilmour running at the same time. And our sound man, he really likes the David Gilmour one. It's running on pretty much one sound the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a middle, somewhere between clean and dirty, and it really brings out everything. If I might have delay and chorus on the other channel, and then he's got this foundational amp going the whole time, which is great because that's kind of what I do on the record.
Right, right.
So I can get by kind of pulling this two different sounds off live. And then, of course, we've got Ray. He's our fifth guy, sort of, to play some other guitar parts that obviously I can't do at the same time. But
any additions to your effects arsenal?
Since Samstown, not really. I like to keep my arsenal simple, which is funny enough, it doesn't look simple.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, I've got a phaser pedal, a chorus pedal, two delay pedals, and two tube screamers, which I used. I use one kind of as a boost,
right,
and one for just distortion.
Right.
And I use a whammy pedal, which is like on every guitar player's board now. And
yeah, yeah.
It almost should be taught at guitar lessons because there's so many things you can do with it.
So most important question, have you played Guitar Hero or a Rock Band?
Only one time. And I was with my friend Wyatt Boswell, and we were in Fry's Electronics, and he's like, come on, man, you got to see yourself on guitar. Because the display was out, so then
right. He,
you know, nobody knew who I was there. I don't think anyone noticed, but he put on When You Were Young.
Right.
And I just played it in the store one time.
How were you?
I was all right, but I was like, I was kind of frustrated. I was like, no, that's not, I'm playing it right. I know how to play it. I wasn't doing that well, but I was like, you know, I think I know how to play that song.
Most real musicians are not that good at the games, it seems, even on their own songs.
I know. It was frustrating.
Well, thank you very much for spending some time with me.
Sure.
It's been absolutely
great. No problem.
And I love the new record.
It was a pleasure.
It's fantastic. This is Joe Basso with Music Radar, the place for music makers, and I've been speaking to Dave Kooning from The Killers. Dave, again, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.